So we left off with a very, very strange machlokes of Rishonim. What role, if any, does the Beis Din have in terms of the Sinas Haget? So we saw two radically extreme views in Rishonim. We saw what we're calling probably the view of, as we call it, the silent majority of Rishonim. All the Rishonim who don't make any mention of the requirement of a get. The Rif, the Rambam, the Rush. Nobody talks about the topic, probably because it doesn't exist. Including, probably the silent majority, are Chazal. 90 Blam and Sechas Gittin, and not a word. You have a half-baked word in the Hamad Beis about a get, Abba Medina Sayyam. You have a half-baked sugya in the Peches about a get Aydei Kfiya. But for the most part, we don't find any requirement of Beis Din. That's the extreme view. Then you have, in a Kotza L'Kotza, the view that's represented by the Yor Zeruah, no, it's an absolute chayt l'yavor, you require a Beis Din for a get, and the Gemara in the Peches is not the exception to the rule, that is the rule. Eil Mishpatim, Amish, did from Beis Din, and that's it. The only thing is, the Yor Zeruah was willing to concede that the standard of Beis Din doesn't have to be three. Because to say that you need three Dayanim for a get, that's a very, very big chiddush, because that is really something the Gemara should have told us. So it says the Azarua, a Beis Din, yeah, of a three nisht. Why three nisht? Because a Beis Din doesn't really need three. Hidimamas b'shloisha is not really true. It's only true l'gabi zelos v'chavolos, not hadolos v'chavolos, b'tzerek tishma v'sechach, and mikosher, and that's in the root that the Azarua went. But we have to analyze that opinion that a regular standard get requires a Beis Din. Based on what? What is it about a get that requires a Beis Din? What dimension of get it is? Get doesn't sound like it's a Din Torah. Why should it require a Beis Din? So here there was a further breakdown in Rishonim within this seemingly minority view that needs a Beis Din. What the nature of that Beis Din? What's the role of that Beis Din? So the Yor Zeruah himself quotes a Rivan. Did we mention the Rivan yet in the Sugya? The Rivan was the... I don't know who the Rivan was. He was a Rashi son-in-law. The Rivan with the Nun. He was one of Rashi's. Rashi had a few son-in-laws. The Rabbeinu Meir was his other. The Rabbeinu Tam and the Reshbam came from another son-in-law. Rashi had five daughters, so we know about some of the son-in-laws. Some of them we don't know who they were at all, but the few of them we do know. And Rashi did not have any sons that we know of. And as they say, you can choose your son, you can't choose your sons, but you can choose your son-in-law. So if somebody was merited to win Rashi's favor, to be able to marry his daughter, he must have been, as they say, the best bracha neshiv at the time. So Rashi was not, Rashi was looking around for a good son-in-law. So the Rivan, we also know a little bit from the Rivan, he wrote the end of Maseches Makos, the last couple of blot in Rashi. So Rashi disappears at the very end of Maseches Makos. We're not exactly sure what happens. Every once in a while, Rashi like ceases to exist. In Baba Basra, in the third paragraph, all of a sudden, we lose the Rashis, and in the end of Makos, we lose the Rashis. So there's this line that's printed in the Shas Vilna that says, Khan Meis Rashi, which is a little strange because Rashi died multiple times. So there's clearly something fishy going on here. That I wouldn't say Khan Meis Rashi. Khan, for some reason, the man, if something happened, Rashi wrote his Perish multiple times. It was a lifetime. It wasn't like one day Rashi decided, okay, let's write Perish Rashi and Shas today. That'll be today's project. Tomorrow we'll do Tanakh, today we'll do it. It was like a life going, and he was editing it in emendations, and there were, you know, the Maduras. So there are multiple Maduras. That's why sometimes you find, you know, some Rishonim will quote Rashi this way, and some will quote a little bit differently, because Rashi was an ongoing, it was a work in progress for decades. So apparently some of the Madura somewhere, something got lost somewhere in the upheaval of the Crusades or something. So every once in a while we're missing a few dafim here and there. Like Rashi in the Nedarim somehow got lost somewhere. The Rashi that we have in the Nedarim is not really Rashi, and the Rashi in Nazar got lost somewhere. So we're not exactly sure what happened to certain places. So we have like 90% of the Shas. So every once in a while the Rivan fills in the gaps in the Enem HaSechas Makos. So the Azurah quotes from the Rivan that, yes, a get requires a Beis Din, but it has nothing to do with Hilchos Gittin Shabbai. It has to do actually with Hilchos Ksuba Shabbai, because every get is going to be linked to a Din Torah of a Ksuba. The minute that the woman gets the get, so now she's going to come right to Beis Din to collect the Ksuba. So comes Rivan and says that it's the Ksuba dimension that elevates, that transforms the get into a Din Torah. So it's not Hilchos Gittin proper. It's not Maseches Gittin. It's Maseches Ksubis, which is a subcategory of Hilchos Gittin. That's what warrants a Beis Din. So this Rivan is very, very difficult conceptually. Because as the Yor Zeruah himself asked, wait a second, he said that if and when there's a sichsuch about a ksuba, so we'll deal with it. So we'll talk about it. We'll discuss it at a later point. The get itself is not the dintar in the ksuba. The get itself, liyolim, should be isra heter. We should give a get from edim asirin, whatever you think the standards of edus for a get is. If and when the woman starts asking for a ksuba and the husband starts yelling, she doesn't want to give her the ksuba, so okay, so we'll discuss it. So why does the subsequent ksuba part, why does that transform the etzem aget to be a dintar? A very, very difficult concept that the Rivan is suggesting, but the truth is that the Rivan is probably based on a shver. If I got it from Rashi, there's a Rashi in Yevamos that sounds a little bit like that, that some ksuba fuses and merges together to become one entity. The ksuba is a git, and really it's all the same thing. Last night at our Motzei Shabbos learning in the shul, so one of the young boys came over to me. I think he was learning Mishnayos with his father or something. So he came over to me and he said, "How much does it get worth today?" That was his phrase. "How much does it get worth today?" I didn't know what he was talking about. So finally, after talking to him for 5 minutes, he meant how much is a ksuba worth today. So then I understood. He always liked to move on. It's the same thing. Get ksuba. Ksuba gets all the same. I explained to him that ksuba is a ksuba again. It's a little different document. Okay, back to that story. According to this Rivan, this may solve one of our dilemmas in our Masechta. Remember, one of the biggest problems that we have in the Shittas that say that a get requires a Beis Din, what do you do with the Gemara and the Pehamid Beis? Our Sugya. Remember, this is why we're talking about the topic now. Why do Chazal wake up in the Pehamid Beis and say, a get that's coming from China all of a sudden requires a Beis Din? Typically, that every get requires a Beis Din. So comes the Rivan himself and says, no. Not every get requires a Beis Din. Only those get din that have a ksub attached to it require a Beis Din. But what would the din be if you have a get that doesn't have a ksub attached to it? Such a get doesn't require a Beis Din. Give me an example. What possible get doesn't have a ksub attached to it? Get an Amerson. Again, an Amerson doesn't have a ksuba. What if we know the woman's not getting a ksuba? Let's say she's an Ashishishin. We know she just lost a ksuba. Is that not a shayla? She's not getting a ksuba. So comes the Rivan and says, I who hold that not every get requires a Beis Din. It only requires a Beis Din. Hashem the ksuba shabo. So imdim salam, you would have a get without a ksuba. The taka wouldn't require a Beis Din. So that's a gavaldic answer, says the Rivan. Now I understand why Chazal wake up and the family Beis Din get it. It could be that lulei the fact that this is a get abom dina sayam, but taka wouldn't require a basin. It's a get shel arusa, it's a get shel eish shezinsa. We know there's no ksuba tagged on to this get, so such a get taka doesn't need a basin. Oh, itma ve'er, but the get of a necht of zicha, that for sure requires a basin. That's why Chazal were free to address the issue of. Or if they come and noise the law, because a get doesn't always need a Beis Din, because of the Rivan's limitation by saying that since a get is per se not a din Torah, it's only a din Torah she'en the ksuba. If and when the ksuba is lacking, taka the get won't require it. So the Rivan, you know, touches up that little sore spot in the sugya by giving, you know, kimta hachamay eskina. You can have a get that doesn't require a Beis Din. What? Where the Yozru didn't say this way, because the Yozru is going to be the baplukta of the Rivan. Hold up for a second. So if you look at that Nedim Yehuda that we were talked about on Thursday, so the Nedim Yehuda asks on those Rishonim, he asks against the Yozru. He says, according to Yozru, who says a Beis Din is needed for every get, so why does Gemara wake up a daf hey before he come and noise the law? So you know what the Nedim Yehuda says? Be atzmo? He says, oh, the answer is because the only reason why a get requires a Beis Din is because of the Ksuba Shabo, and it must be a daf hey. We're talking about a get shel arusa. The Rebbe Yehuda was mechavin to who? To the Rivan. He didn't see this, because remember we said he didn't see the trufa. He didn't see the whole Ozeru inside. The Rebbe Yehuda said me'atzmo, the shtickle Torah that the Rivan says. The Ozeru himself rejects it, because the Ozeru turns around to the Rivan and says, what does the ksuba have to do with the price thing in China? What does that have to do with the get being a din Torah? The get itself is a din Torah. Says the Ozeru, a get be'atzmo so is called a din Torah. Ein la mishpatim is chan a get also. It's a, objectively, intrinsically a din Torah. That's just the way it is. And therefore, there's no difference whether it's a get arusa or nisuda, but a yes ksuba nish ksuba. So the Ozeru himself is bottom of the kash. So taka, how come the Gemara wakes up and says, if they come and noise the law, what happened to, don't you need 3 diyanim for the get? So that was the Ozeru's territory as well. We said before, that chadnami kosher. So what the Nevi Yehuda said pshat in the Yozarua was exactly the 100% correct pshat in who? In the Rivan, not in the Yozarua. Again, you can't fault the Halakha Nevi Yehuda, didn't have the Yozarua inside. So there are two basic mahalchim and rishonim about why a get needs a Beis Din, assuming that it does. Okay, good. Most Rishonim say it doesn't need, but within the Shittas that say it do, both the Rivan and the Yazarua, is it Biatzimuso it needs, or is it tangential that it needs? If it's tangential, then all the Gemaras that say it doesn't need are talking about Get Arusa. If it's Biatzimuso it needs, then all the Gemaras that say it doesn't need three is just saying that Chala Mikosher. So the two different Mahalchim, Lagamri and the Rishonim, within the Machmirim Shita that you require a Beis Din.
Does Iksuma require a Beis Din?
A dintur ksuba does, yeah. If they're fighting it out, he says, I don't want to pitch to them things, so that's a dintur.
So maybe a dintur get would require.
But there's no dintur in a get, that's the thing. A get is not a dintur. So that's what the Rivan is saying, that the get itself doesn't really require. There's no sichsuch in a get. But once you give the get, then it's going to, the ksuba gets tagged onto the get. That's where the problem of basin begins. That's what the Ozer Ruah said.
What's that do then? It's just a man.
It could be, right? It could be there's no ksuba altogether, right?
How does it usually work? Is there ksuba usually?
I mean, usually a couple gets married, so the Me'ikra Din, you don't even have to really write a ksuba. The Gemara says that Medirabonin, you have to write a ksuba, that a woman shouldn't be afraid that he's going to divorce her just like that. Whether he writes or doesn't write, he's Mechur to pay the ksuba. So every get, by definition, the next step after a get is going to be, let's discuss the ksuba. Again, whether that plays out in America 2022 is a different story, but Medina the Gemara, every time the woman gets divorced, she gets the get. Now she says, okay, good, now give me the ksuba. So the Rivan said the fact that the giving of the get precipitates the diyun on the ksuba, that elevates the get to being a din Torah. And the Ozer Ruah is like, Mechad, I said, well, why is that be
so? So what was the difference between Kesan Hay, according to...
No, so according to the Rivan, you could say, at the Hamid Beis, why does the Gemara need a Beis in Dafka for Bifari Nechta? Why isn't there a Beis in there anyway? So the Rivan would say, because to get Shalar Rusa, to get that the woman's with Mazana, to get that there is no din of a ksuba on. So the Rivan give you okimtas where there's no ksuba. The Ruah is going to say, well, Okimtas aren't going to help me. If the get itself is a din Torah, it's part of Eilam Mishpatim, so then it's going to always need a Beis Din. So why is the Gemara waking up in the Feit? It requires three Dayanim. So that's what the Ruah had to say, we said on Thursday, because the din of Beis Din of a get would have sufficed with one. Whereas Bifrei Kamenois Lam means you need two or three. So by say, we made this Ha'ar at the end of Shir on Thursday, that according to the Ruah, it's a real letdown. Because you don't really need three dayanim, you just need one. So call it Elmo, call it a Beis. The mice, you don't need him. So you're going to have an aid there anyway, you're going to have two aid. What's the significance? So the Ozer Ruah raises a red flag about Hilchos Gittin. So again, you could read 90 blind and say, Gittin never realized this. Says the Ozer Ruah, a get can't be administered at night. A get that's given at night could be possible in a Torah. Because you need a Beis Din. Yeah, you need a watered down dayan Echos Kosher. It's got to be a Beis Din. A Beis Din at night is inconceivable. So let's backpedal for a minute and see, is that statement 100% true? And where did the Ozer Ruah get it from? It's a throwback to a Gemara Maseches Yevamos. So it's a little bit of a tricky Gemara in Yevamos. If you can find the Gemara. It's a sixth of the Gemara Mekundas. Okay, we didn't start this Gemara yet, right? We didn't read this Gemara together? Okay, let's take a look at this Gemara, the sixth of the Gemara Mekundas. So the Mishnah begins, Cholza Balay Lechleitzos Ekshera. If a woman does chalitza at night, the chalitza is kosher. Rabbi Elazar poisel, and Rabbi Elazar says it's no good. So the Gemara has a little bit of a problem later on to figure out whether we have the right tanoim on this one. It could be that Rabbi Elazar said it's kosher, and the Rabbanan said it's poisel. There's a machlokes who said what, but there was definitely a machlokes at tanoim. There's no question. There was a machlokes at tanoim whether the chalitza is kosher, chalitza is poisel. What's the issue exactly? So the Gemara has the following presentation of the machlokes. The sixth Imam Kaimis. Everybody agrees that a chalitza is a din. That's not negotiable. Chalitza is a din Torah. Why is that? Hang in there. Chalitza is a din Torah. However, although it's true that a din Torah has to take place by Yom, the Mishnah Sanhedrin tells the Chiddush Gadol that dinei Torah, dinei Mamnis, matchilim by Yom. As long as you started the din Torah b'yom, you can finish it up b'layla as well. How did Chazal figure that out? What is the mocha that you need a din Torah b'yom? So the Gemara Darshan is a pasuk. B'yom hanchil was bono. Pasuk and Pashuk Kiseitze. Remember that pasuk, put it on the back burner, it's going to come back to us in the next sugya in full fury. B'yom hanchil was bono. B'yom v'loy b'layla. On the other end is the pasuk and Pashuk Yisrael that says, v'shoftos am, you know, b'chaleis, all the time. A yom or b'chaleis, says Rabbi Kasha. Kadet chilas din, kadet gmar din. Did a Torah have to begin by yom? the sun is shining. But if you schlep sich out, and now it's after Meirav, it's at 10 o'clock at night, gonna feel balayla. That's the din mit deraisa. So I state the in the Mishnah Maseches Sanhedrin. So comes the Gemara and says a very, very strange presentation. One line the Gemara says, chalitza is a din, no question about it. Is it a tchilas din or a Gemara din? If it's a tchilas din, then it has to be bayom. If it's a Gemara din, then it can even be balayla. And that was the Nekudas HaMachlekes HaTanoim about chalitza balayla kosher apostle. Is it a tchilas din or a soif din? At Kan Divagor, that's the entire Gemara. Hakol Nikoko, one half line of the Gemara. Mar Sovik, chalitza has nothing to do with it. You read this Gemara and you don't know what to do with this Gemara. What would you say it should be? Do you think chalitza should be a tchilas din or a Gemara din? What do you think? Why can you not answer this question intelligently? Because you have no idea why chalitza is a din altogether. The Gemara is assuming chalitza is a din, yeah, that's a given. And now that we've ascertained that it's a din, we're assuming that it's a din, let's pilpul the tchilas din or saif din. How can I give an intelligent opinion about whether it's tchilas or saif? I don't even know what made it a din in the first place. So what a great surprise, the Rivan comes to the rescue. And the Rivan got this from Mishmer, got it from Rashi. Rivan says, what is it about chalitza that makes it a din? Catch this one. What happens after you finish chalitza? Besides the religious aspect of chalitza, there's a monetary aspect. What is it?
She gets
collected ksuba now from the old husband, from the previous husband. Kolzman, when a woman's husband dies and she's a kuka liibum, she's not getting a ksuba so far. Ksuba, what's that? The new husband, the brother may take over. He may marry us. She's not running for a ksuba so fast. If and when we decide to have chalitza, then she's entitled to a ksuba. So Zok to Rivan, the same way that we said a minute ago, according to Rivan, the handing over of the get is transformed to become a din teir and din imamunis because of the link to the ksuba. The identical story is true by chalitza. Fakir, says the Rivan. How do I know it's true by get? He got it from this Gemara. The Rivan read. This is the Gemara. The Gemara says a chalitza is a din, says Rivan. Oh, why chalitza? What's a dinish about chalitza? Let's take it off a shoe. This is religion. This is a religious act. What does it have to do with it? There's no fight here. Nobody's arguing. Oh, the answer is what makes the Maisa Chalitza a din is it's linked to the Ksuba. And based on that, he said that's what's going on in Gittin as well. So now, looking at the Sukkah through the eyes of the Rivan, we have to ask ourselves, is it a Tchilas din or Softin? So we've ascertained why it's a din according to Rivan. But now we have to scratch our heads and answer ourselves. So, why is it Tchilas din or Softin? What would you think the din would be? If I asked you, I just told you why Chalitza is din, because of the Mamun Shabbai, because of the Ksuba Shabbai. So why is it Tchilas din? Why is it Softin din? What do you think?
I think it's a Gemara din because...
Gemara din, in a million years I would have said that, but I'm going to hear you out.
You wouldn't have said that?
Never.
Because he's already
Zekuka. Well, you know what the problem is here? I already see the problem. You're an Evan Ezra man, I'm a Cheshire Bishop man. Okay? So the Rivan is looking at this through the eyes of dollars and cents. Right? Who here is inside Sims? Right? You told me you're an accountant, Gary. You're a money man, right? I'm the religious guy. You're the money guy. That, I don't mean that in a bad way. It's okay. I'll just take that personally. So why am I looking at this through the eyes of money and you're looking at it through the eyes of religion? That's not right. Money man, come on. Kesaviana Sokol. So you think it's a tchilas din or sof din? I'm only making fun of you because you're a mechavet as a rule, but I'm nowhere near that yet. I'm still Rivan.
Tchilas din because only after you do chalitza can you collect
the
ksuba.
I don't need anyone to give me lumdus why it's tchilas din. Just this is the most simplest elementary thing. What does the word tchila mean?
The beginning.
Thank you very much. Is this the beginning or the end? This is day one. We're having a chalitza. We invited everyone. We're having a chalitza down. This is not the end. You know what Gemara din is like? The image of Gemara din is Beis Din has been sitting kvetching for 10 hours already. Shrine's already, Shrine tight. It's ready 10 o'clock at night. And let's just wrap things up. I'm tired of the office. I get up early tomorrow morning for Vasikin. I want to go home already. Let's give them sock dinner already. Sure. That's Gemara din. Tchilas din means it's fresh. It's first thing in the morning. You know, we haven't met each other yet. We haven't started the process yet. Those are tchilas din. So chalitza is the tchilas din. It's the beginning of the process of taking the shoe off. What, this is the 16th time we took the shoe off already? This is the first time. So the tchilas din. What does that have to do with Gemara din? So comes the Rivan and says, let me explain to you. You have to look at it through the eyes of Mamonis. Because the taking off of the shoe is not the issue. The characteristic of a chalitza that made this and did in the first place nothing to do with the shoe. It has to do with the money, with the dollars and cents, Shabbai. Is the psak din that's taking place vis-a-vis the ksuba tchila saif? So I would have said, it's tchila. This is our first discussion about the ksuba. Right now. We're starting the ksuba right now. So this is opening day. Throwing out the first pitch about the ksuba Shabbai. That's what one Tana says, it's chilas din, therefore it requires yom and a Torah. And therefore the whole chalitza is elevated to require yom and a Torah. So what's pshat in the man the yom that says that it's Gemara did? You won't believe this one. The guy said, last year, hold on before you start throwing anything at me. A din Torah and Gevias HaKesuba is a Gemara din. You know why? Because the minute that we open up the case, it's done. The judge gives a bang with the gal, it's done, the case is over. It's chilas of a gomer boin ke echad. The gemara din happens immediately. Why? Why? What is it about a din Torah and a ksuba that gives us just the ability to say the case is over before it even starts? Who said what? She's got a document in her hand. The shtar is kigavid. It already says he owes the Torah. Anyone get married recently? On a eflach le'ezav v'fanda, what does it say? That the kibra love chasan denan, right? The mea. It's on the it's written on the paper. She has the paper yet. When you have a din Torah, did Reuven break Shimon's window or not? So, I don't know. The Edom saying, it takes us 10 hours to sort out all the information. That's a tchilas din. And the Gemara din is when they finally come to the realization Reuven broke Shimon's window. That's a Gemara din. Here, it is a 2-second case. It's over before Tachte Dibur. It's the Shah and Lewis Gavidam. That's the reason why the Tana disagrees and says, therefore, it can be done what? It can be done Balayla also. Because it's a Gemara Din, it's not a Tchilas, it's a Gemara Din Balayla, Chlitz Balayla is Kshayra. Because it's a Din for the Gemara Din. So the Rivon only was able to stick this notion of Shtava Ligwas Gavidami into this equation, because he was looking at the potential Din Teira of a Chalitza revolving around the cash. Because he went to Sai Sims, the Rivon was the Sai Sims guy. So he's looking at the Sugya through the eyes of cash. And Lagabi Kesh, Starby Lewis, Gabi Dami. I'm expecting some screams from last year's guys now. Now I'm opening up the floor for screams. No screams. They even called him over Dakar. Yeah, Starby Lewis, Gabi Dami. Yeah, no problem, right?
Yeah.
How much of it? Yeah, we pass it again, Starby Lewis. It's Machlekes B'Sham B'Sil. Last I checked and soap to Dach Havav. There's a Mishnah B'Sach HaSoita that tells us the following Shaila. A husband suspects his wife is Bezana. He gives her kinoi. She violates the kinoi. She does stira. He's fuming. He takes her up to the Beis HaMikdash. They're on the way to the Beis HaMikdash. They're driving up. They're passing Beit Meir. And all of a sudden, what happens? Husband dies. The husband dies. What's going to happen? So what's not going to happen? They will never resolve this doubt. Because she can't come and drink now because the husband's not alive, so the mind is not going to work anyway. So the game's over. So now what? What do you do? So the game's over. What do we have in our hands? An unresolved doubt. We do not know whether she's mezana or not. Because the Torah Kadesh said that kini and stira creates a latest asofik. And the only mechanism to be revived the asofik is shtiyas amayim. And shtiyas amayim has just been taken out from under us. So we have an unresolved doubt to remain unresolved for eternity. So you're probably wondering, who cares? He's dead anyway. That could be like ksuba. If she was mezana tachtav, then she lost the ksuba. If she was mezana tachtav, she's not ksuba. You have an unresolved doubt, never to be resolved, about her ability to collect the ksuba. So B'Sham B'Sil had a machloikis in Masech HaSayit, Dach Havav, Yeh ksuba nish ksuba. B'Sham says, not lost ksubason, and B'Sil says, ain't not lost ksubason. What's the kudus of machloikis? So the Gemara explains, very simple. Who's the what? Who's the muksuk? Who's muksuk on this mama? So Basilo says, whose book's going to mama? Where's the money right now? In the husband's pocket. The Yorshim's pocket. So you, wife, want to get money out of the Yorshim? Go prove that you weren't Mazana. We have a latest asofik, 50-50 chance of Mazana. The Torah said it's a latest asofik. You have to prove that you're entitled to your money. You can't prove it. So I'm not going to pay him asofik. And Beishami said the other way around. The woman's muhsek is on the money because shtar v'lig was gavei dami. So the money is ki'ilu, it's already paid. She has the money in her pocket. Not literally, but figuratively. They want to take that money out of her pocket. Let them prove it. So that's the famous Machlokes B'Sham B'Sil. So what is the Rivon talking about? shtar or belibus kegavui dami, and therefore the chalitza is no good. That's what the Tanar argued about. B'sham b'silo, we pass like b'silo. All of a sudden, a sugi and yevamus brought back b'shamay to life. K'tzois is going to save the day as usual. So the K'tzois pointed out that although b'ikaron we pass in shalimus lafka gavui dami, that's not an absolute all-encompassing statement. There may be certain dimensions that although it may not be kegavui dami legabe muksuk, it may be kegavui dami legabe other things. That was a K'tzois opening up of a whole sugya last year, the kafadimian of last year. So is that what's going on in the sugya? That's the issue that the Talmud fighting about. That whether or not you accept shtar b'libus kegavui dami to some degree, that could elevate this to Gemara Din. If you take it to some degree, maybe that'll be into Gemara Din, or maybe not, maybe. But is there something else funny going on in this sugya? Is this a funny application of Gemara Din? Is this what your average guy would have thought Gemara Din is? There's something bothering me about this Gemara Din. What's eating me about this Gemara Din? We're going to declare that chalitza is a gemar din. Why? Because shtar oyim b'dus kegavui dami, and therefore we're going to enable you to do the din Torah by balayla. We're going to let the chalitza pass balayla. It's kshera. Because shtar oyim b'dus. There's something missing here. What's missing? But what halacha do we not understand? Chalitza. We got down pat. We understand chalitza. Chalitza is meaningless in Dinei Torah. This is the Rivan talking. Chalitza is just linked to the Ksubas. The Ksubas, that's the problem. So we understand that concept. And therefore, if you buy into Shtar B'Libos Kegavui Dami to some degree, whatever the Ksubas told us, whatever it was last year, so you connect the dots, it's the Gemara Din. You know what we don't understand, what I say? This halacha of Dinei Torah, Matchilim B'Yom V'Gorim B'Layla, the Gemara learned that from Sukkim. Does this make any sense, dude? It's a pasuk. It's a gemara. How do you understand the nature of this halacha? Dinei Torah, dinei mamonos, meschilim b'yom v'gorim b'layla. You can understand this in one of two ways. Lom d'shechakira. If you can understand it as saying that everything's mutter to prove an answer. So, nothing's necessary to do in this world until HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to do it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu v'hoi b'yayim henchilu v'zbonav. B'yayim teaches me Dinei Torah require yayim. But the same Maimon Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu v'shavta osa b'chaleis, that Dinei Torah don't require yayim. So what's the answer? Kum t'tar shabbat explains, kan v'chilu kam v'soif. Gemar Din doesn't require yayim. It never did. Never will. Whatever requires yom, we're stuck with yom. Whatever does require yom, doesn't require yom. The Torah says, Lamashal, the Torah says you have to shake a lulav by yom. So I got to shake a lulav by yom. The Torah says you have to blow shof by yom. I got to blow shof by yom. The Torah doesn't say, V'hasal rucha kamocha only by yom. So I got to be a nice guy even at night. Whatever the Torah says, you have to do. The Torah says, no, you don't have to do. So the Torah Kedosh, again, the Torah said in a very, very, roundabout way, but that's what we have to talk about before to teach us. That the pasuk b'shavta b'chal eis is megalad to me that b'yom and chila is only going on chila, not on soif, and that's a din. There never was a din of chal of yom and gemar din. That's the pshat. Or maybe that's not the pshat. Why is gemar din any less than chila's din? If anything, I would say it's more important. Gemar din, that's the end of the story. Why is it more important? Less important? Less important. The nature of the din of chila b'yom gomalayla means that the Gemara Din latches on to what? To the Tchilas Din. It's the Gemara Hadavar. It's just the icing on the cake. The real cake, the real meal is the Tchilas Din. You spent 10 hours deliberating on the cakes, and the last 2 seconds you said, Ish planet the Chai, Ish planet the Potter, that's Nigra Bas of the Tchila. I give you Moshe Mother of the famous Taisis of the Sechas Brachas, famous Taisis. Bilam. Right, so you're Bilam. Bilam, he knows how to curse Klal Yisrael. He's got all these keiches, sorcery, deep man, dark magic. He's going to curse Jewish people. Says the Gemara in Brachas, Bilam didn't have such keiches, but he did know one secret. What was the secret? He knows when a Kodesh Baruch Hu is angry. how long is the Kadosh Baruch Hu angry for? The Gemara gives you a cheshbon, it comes out to a minuscule of a fraction of a second. But Bilam was the only guy around who knew that second was. Yod al-Chavis Sashah. So you read that Gemara, and you say, wow. This is like a very ruchni, very spiritual Gemara. He had the Kachas HaTumma, and the Kachas HaKadusha. He knew when to be Mechavin, the Shodach. Kadosh Baruch Hu changed his moment, you know, and wasn't angry at that. Wow, what a gavaldik, a lot of Hasidish, new Hasidis, old Hasidis. This is, you get really, really spiritual about this, right? You know, this is a good Gemara to say when the lights are out, you know, the Kumzitz, you know, it's Shalosh Shudas, by Pashas Bola, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Chavetz HaShoah. You can see the Sitra Achra in front of you, you know, so you had everything going. As I said many, many times, the Rishonim, I'm sorry to report, were what? They were Litvax through and through. They misnagged him, hardcore misnagged him through and through. Balei HaTosfos couldn't get a kumzitz out of them. What is Tosfos Kasha? And this Gemara, they look, one look at this Kasha and they say, well, one look at this Gemara, what do they say in Brachas? What would you have said? Give me the klala. Name that call. Give me a call. It would have been chal in that split second. What a letdown. What a cold kasher. Give me the call. So I didn't for the call. Give me the call. So Taiz gives you two answers. Says, nope. One is the Matzias Teretz. We can find the call. Taiz says, we can find that call. So Taiz is searching now for clothes. Something new, very strange. Taiz is now in the business of looking for curses. So we're reading Harry Potter book 3, we're looking for curses. We can't find the curse. What's the curse that's going to be chal in that one split second? We're in between Hogwarts and Diagon Alley. We can't find where the clothes. We're not sure where the clothes is. I did have little kids at one time. I had to catch up with them, make sure that they were okay. So everyone knows the policy in the house. The policy was that the first couple of books were okay to read. The next ones had to be read in the edited edition. So my mother had to read them first. They had to cut out the pages that were not appropriate. Then the rest of the book was kosher. So I forgot what the cutoff point was. Somewhere around book 4 became the cutoff point that needed the edited version. Nothing. Okay. So if you really want to read it, we still have them in the house. They're missing a few pages here and there, but the basic story ends the same. Okay. Harry wins at the end, you know. The bad guys lose and everything, you know. Everyone's good to go. Okay. Sure. So Tais is by Tais, Haley by Tais, Lahavov thought they're looking for a curse, but looking for the curse of how would you even intelligently look for such a curse? What would you look for? It's gotta be very short. But come on, you have to go, you need more to go on than that. So what does Tais say? Where would you look for to see what the curse is? What he said. How do we know that? Because whatever curse he wanted to say was said as a bracha. So Tosfos in the first teretz had a very, very lomdish way of reading this pasuk. What does v'yafach mean? L'hafeich, backwards. So now we have a hint as to what the curse would have been. It's got to be a word that's a bracha. If it would have been said in the opposite way, it would have been a curse. That's the only clue that we have. This is like a word game here. Like we know what we're looking for. It's got to be very short. It can't be long, otherwise it can't be said in that short time. It's going to be very, very short. And it has to be something that we know that Bilam Taka did say at the end against his will. And we have to find the word. It's jumbled. Mamash jumbling the squares here. We have to find the word that if you jumble them around, it would have been a klala. So Tosfos goes to Parshas Balak. They start reading through the whole Parsha. What's the word? Give me the word. Everyone knows what the word is? Oh, Tosfos says, Melech. Ushuas Melech boy. Ooh, if you jumble the... Tosfos, this is not a Chassidish Maisla. This is the Mishnah I'm talking. If you have you jumble the squares, jumble the letters of Melech, so backwards they spell Kalem. Destroy them, knock them off, wipe them off the map. That's a Bilam talk. That's a nusach that Bilam would have used. Kaleb. It's very short. It's all practical. Kaleb! Hopefully that wasn't the moment that Kadosh Baruch Hu was angry. Kaleb! Right? So that one split second said the word Kaleb, and we know that Bilam wanted to say Kaleb because he said Melech, and it was Melech boy. Wow. What a Tosfos. You're like, what? What did this just say? Let's give it to Russia. That Tosfos means a lot more than that, a lot deeper than that. What Taisus means to say is that the antithesis of kalem is melech. What does that mean? Kalem means the utter and total destruction of Klal Yisrael. That's what Bilam wanted. One like Bigishlach has a call like Lavan. According to one, he was the Gilgul of Lavan. It was a whole sugya and sechzen henin. He wanted Lachas a call to totally destroy the Jewish people. How does the Jewish people survive? Why are we still here? This is the old question. Who posed this question? What are we still here for? This is the famous kash of who? What? Rabbi Yaakov is the one who said the biggest nays is that we're still here. Who is the famous person, Mark Twain? That was his famous essay. Why the Jewish people still here? And that was his kash. That was one of his many kashes. He's going down the Mississippi, so he's contemplating this idea. So why are the Jewish people still here? He wrote an entire essay. Why are we still here? He didn't know the answer. He just was over the kasha, and he strengthened the kasha. He said, the Babylonians aren't here, the Egyptians aren't here, the Romans aren't here, the Persians, no one's here anymore, the Greeks are here, they're all gone. The Jews, he has a phrase, the Jews saw them, beat them, and still here. So what's the answer to the kasha? The answer is very simple. Pasuk Navi says, Ani Hashem lo shenisi, v'tem b'yakav lo chilisim. The corollary of the existence, why a Klal Yisrael eternal? Because we're the Bnei HaMelech. Kodesh Baruch Hu chose us to be his children. We're his nation. So we have to stay around forever. We have no choice. Because the Kodesh Baruch has to, so to speak, keep us. His Malchus is Kayim the Yom Vod. And he Hashem lo shenisi. I'm not going anywhere. Atem Bnei Yaakov lo chilisam. You can't. Lo chilisam. What does it say? Lo chilisam. You can't be Nichla. So that was the Klal. The Klal was Kalei. And what was the Tikkun? What was the Bracha? Melech, Shuras Melech Boy, we're friends of the king. That's what it means, Shuras Melech, we're friends of the king. So we're Melech here forever. That was just an Alpid Rush, but the Taisus dropping it. But that wasn't even our topic. I want to talk about the next Teretz in Taisus. Taisus says, Yodhi Shalom. What's Taisus' second Teretz? Taisus says, yeah, Bilam did it. Bilam had a litany of curses a mile long. He wasn't going to just say one word, Kalem. He had a whole script rehearsed. All he had to do is get started. As long as you start in the moment of Klala, when Akash Baruch was angry, the sky's the limit. You keep on rolling. As long as you don't stop. Keep on rolling. And all the curses will be chal. That's the Taisus second, Lam D'Shateres. So comes Yerach HaShulchan and says, Achidish Ladina from this Taisus. What do you see from this Taisus? That in Shemayim, when you can pinpoint a moment of truth, as long as you get your foot in the door, then they don't shut it. And that works L'ra. And the Gemara says, Midas Tova is Merur, Midas Aparanas. Kadosh Baruch Hu's midah of toiv is better than his midah of anger. So maduch, midah sakas, as long as you get the foot in the door, it starts. Midah sarachamim, how much more so? And therefore, there are certain times of the day that a miyuchad for shas rachamim, there's a time to daven mincha. There's ban of rachamim for mincha is this time. When the sun sets, we assume halacha, those who assume this way, that the sun sets, so mincha's over. You come back from Ma'ariv a little bit later. Says the Yerach HaShulchan, if you start davening mincha, you said, Baruch HaShem, you start Shemon Esrei. Asher is not going to help you. Haiti is not going to help you. But if you start by davening, it's not going to help you. But if you start saying Shemon Esrei, and you got your foot into the door before Shkia, keep on rolling for another 20 minutes. That's fine. You could rely on that Taisus. Chiddush far from the Yerach HaShulchan.
We rely on that for
the Ilah. We rely on it for Shachmas on Yom Kippur. For the Chazan, schleppen sich till 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Right. So in a certain sense, we all rely on that. Right. So, a lot of Pesachim don't like that. A lot of Pesachim still thought it was a little too much. Mixing, matching, Bilam, Mice. So why am I telling you this story? So it could be that that's what's going on here. That's the same part. That it's not that you don't need Gemara Din Bayom. Of course you need Gemara Din Bayom. But you got your foot, you started. You started Chiz Din, so whatever happens post Chiz Din is Nigra Bas Nishayim of the Chiz Din. So it's not Pshat that Gemara Din doesn't need. Gemara Din also needs Yom. But that's called Bayom, as long as you started it. My Nafkamina is a nuance. At the end of the day, Gemara Din doesn't need Yom. What's the difference whether you say it doesn't need Yom or it needs Yom, it's Nigra? What's the answer? This Rivan. When I do a Chalitza, so the Rivan goes off, the Chalitza is a din why Hashem Diksuba. So he's telling you a story that it's a din Hashem Diksuba, it's a Gemara din. Why is it a Gemara din? Because Shtam Ligvitz Gavidon. Does that model make sense? That only makes sense if you hold that Gemara din per se doesn't need Yoim. But if you hold that Gemara din is to be Nigra or Basel Chilas din, So the chalitza is what? It's the gemar dinner, right? But there's nothing for it to be what? To be nikra basar, because you didn't do anything by yoy. This is the nafkamina. This is the litmus test between the two pshat of the chakira. Because when you do a chalitza, you want a zolzayin, you want to call a shtar meligvus. I don't understand this whole mashal shtar meligvus. I'm not sure we hold like based chant, but you want to buy into that idea. One halig gitana says shtar meligvus ki gavidami, and therefore it's called the gemar din. But it's a gemar din without a chilus din to latch onto. So who says that's good? So guess what? That's the nekudas machlekes of these ten. So the Tana that says, when the Gemara says this one phrase, Mar Sover Kigmar Din Damya, what that means is, Chalitza is a din because of the Ksuba. It theoretically is a Gemara din because Shtar Ben Ligvus Kigobi Dami. And therefore it's a Gemara din, and that's good enough because you don't have to latch on to anything. If it's a Gemara din Makosha Bayam, Babalayla. Mar Sover Kitchilas Din means that you can't hide behind Shtar Ben Ligvus Kigobi Dami, even if the Ktsais is right. Because this is a Gemara din without a Tchilas din to hold on to. So Chalitza is a Tchilas din. You can't say, well, it's over before it started. You're right, but it never started. According to one side, the Chayir, it has to start, and then it can finish Balayla. According to the other side, the Chayir, it doesn't have to start Bayom, just it can finish Balayla. So it could be this Lomdish HaKir, this Lomdish HaVord, about what's the nature of the din of Machal Bayom HaGavim Balayla. This din that the Mishnah says, the Psukim Darshan, Tesha Pesh goes up, Machal Bayom HaGavim Balayla. We had a Lomdish HaKir, what's the nature of that halacha? That is none other than a Machalikis, who know? Tanoim in Yavam Mustaf Kufti Emil. That's the machlokes that annoy him. But the chalitza is chalitza the kasayftin. So habaycha yivchar. Either they're arguing about Beshan Beshilal dika stuff, ktsaysim stuff from last year, or no, everyone agrees that ktsaysim, everyone agrees that shtikl tar, it's a gemar din. But it's a gemar din without a tchilas din to latch onto, which is vayta tchilas din. So again, we don't know what went in between the lines of the gemar. We're reading one tamtzit. We have a snip of what happened in Bizman Chachme Gemara. Ravina Ravash is sitting around hundreds of years later and trying to say pshat. What's the bir adover in this machlokes? So one Amari gets up and says, "Mar sof gitchilas din, mar sof gitgmar din." Now we don't know. There could have been a six-hour discussion in the Beis Medrash. So one Talmud may have yelled, "What do you mean tchilas din, sof din? What's the din altogether?" So another Talmud said, "It's the ksuba. Shabbos lingus goydami. Rabbi Shabbos hilum ktsais." You know, I mean, probably didn't call it ktsais. We don't know. Is it tchilas? It's sof. Is it in brachas? Bilam? You know, chasidim? We don't know what was going on behind the scenes. But this is a, according to the Rivan, this is what's going on. This is the whole Tamsa said according to the Rivan. Rabbi say, this Gemara can only be read through the eyes of the Rivan if you accept the Rivan's theory that what created the din is the Ksuba. Who is the big, big bar plucked on this Rivan? Who's the Rishon the cat? Everything I said last half hour is not true. According to who? According to who? Who said it? Azurah. Azurah said to the Rivan, Nuchas Gittin, Ksuba l'chud, v'get l'chud. To which the Azarua would say the identical response. Not only does, could he says it. In the Sefer Azarua, he quotes the Rivan who said the Shtikl Torah in Yavamas, and he says, this is not the correct shot. The Azarua said, because my theory on this matter is that a chalitza is not a din alts the moment. There's nothing about momentous that's relevant here. The Ksuba, we'll find out the Ksuba later. That's not the issue. So what is the din? So the Azarua is consistent. What's the din? What makes chalitza din? Chalitza is the din. The same way he said, a get is a din. But here the Azarua has an easier job. When it came to a get, we had no idea what made it into a din, and we just said, it's a din, and don't ask any cash. It's a din, it's a din, it's a din. That's Musay. But chalitza, we know exactly what makes it a din. Who can we pinpoint responsible for calling chalitza din? What? It's about why does that make it a din? What is it? You're missing out understanding the question. Who is the one who taught us that chalitza is a din b'fnei atzmai, nothing to do with the chalitza? The halacha declares it. Kadosh Baruch Hu b'chved v'atzmai. Where did Kadosh Baruch Hu teach us this? Way before us. V'nikshah yivimtal eilav. What was the beginning of that bazook? Thank you very much. Who is Canaan? Whenever the Torah speaks about Canaan, Canaan doesn't mean old people. What does Canaan mean? It's a base. It means the leaders. the Zikni Ha'ir. The Torah says all the time, Zikni Ha'ir, Yoshi Hashar, the Zikni Ha'ir. The Torah says Chalitz Yadin. The Torah says a Kenim. This is not like a Chilas Matzah. The Torah doesn't say you have to put on tefillin and eat matzah in front of Zikanim. The Torah says you have to Chalitz in front of Zikanim. The Torah says a din. That's the end of the discussion. Again, we had a lot of trouble with because we have no idea why it's a din. There's a rule made up, we had a mishpatim, it's part of din, and we don't know why. But Chalitza is of course a din. Says the Azuru, he doesn't, what's the Rivan talking about? It's a happen story about it's a din because of the Chalit, because of the money, because of the Ksuba. Forget the Ksuba, man. Forget the cash. It's a din because the Torah says it's a din. So what must the Azuru do now? Now that he just changed the whole narrative of the Rivan, what does he have to do? Let's go back to Gemara and Yevamos and explain to us Kuvdal and Yevamos, good Zoldan to din. Tchilosof, what do you think? Who here votes it's a tchilas din? What makes me believe it's a tchilas din? The first thing is happening. Nothing happened yesterday. Nothing happened a week ago. It's 10 o'clock at night. It's after Ma'ariv. And they're coming to Chalitza. This is the first time we're hearing about a shoe being taken off a foot. It's a tchilas din. So who's the Gemara kidding? What do you mean Ma'ariv 7 Gemara din? What's the Gemara din, Tavi? Who's more than the Gemara din? What's the answer? No. Ooh, let's think for a minute. What is it about Chalitza that's dinish oriented? The Torah says it's a din. What, take off a shoe. The halacha is, if you go to a shoe store, for those who still go to shoe stores, if you go to a shoe store and you buy shoes, you don't have to bring a beis din along. So taking off a shoe is not really what requires a beis din. What is it about Chalitza that requires a beis din, obviously? It's the chalois. It's the chalois, right? So what's the chalois? What happens at a Chalitza? Let's pinpoint what happens. Until the chalitza happened, the woman was not allowed to remarry. As I state in the chalitza Torah, la siyei shanei sechutz liyizar. The minute the chalitza happens, v'nikosh rabbi yisrael beichlozana mikam shechotzana hutul yisrael. So it's the chalitza, chalitza heter l'shuk. That is the din shaboy according to Yosef. Get the money. Yosef was not a money man. He's in isav heter. That's the chiddush Torah. The lady has a kenim, and the heter has to be supervised in the presence of the dayanim. To base it on the heter. So I'm going to ask you a very, very lumdish, a very yavamistic question. This heter, lashuk, that's taking place, is this the first we're hearing of it, or the second we're hearing of it? I would say it's the first we're hearing of it. The first time. 5 minutes ago, she was a yavam lashuk. Now she was coming with her. I never heard of it. This was not discussed in the daylight hours. Let's backpedal a little bit. I'm going to take you to the world, the heart and soul of Maseches Yevamos. The question that permeates the entire Masechta. We have a big problem about Maseches Yevamos, a lot of problems with Yevamos. A lot of challenges in Yevamos. The first Mishnah in Kedushin tells us, Isha Kainis Asa Misamal. That's given, the Gemara has a little trouble trying to find Pesukim for it, but at the end of the day, the Gemara tracks down the Mokor. Isha is Muter Misamal, husband dies. That's the starting point. Husband dies, the woman is muteris l'shuk. All of a sudden, kum t'terek edoish and pashas kiseitzin says, and by the way, if the following conditions are met, namely, the husband died, but he didn't have any children, and he has a brother, guess what? She can't get married till first. You have to go through a second process called chalitza. So I want to know, what just happened over here? I could understand this ishtalshlus, this timeline of, she was a married woman, husband dies, now she's Yevam L'shuk, she does leave Yevam L'shuk. I can understand this entire play action in one of two ways. I can understand this follows. Simple pshat. The husband dies, she's always ish. The game is over. Isha kare atzva b'sabal. It doesn't matter what she has, her husband had children, didn't have children, you have brothers, dish brother. She's ish is gone. History, losidif is over. She's not an ishtis bechalal anymore. Now there's a new parasha called Lo Siyesh Leizchud. There's a new din, Yesh Me'ayin. There was this chadish Tosad Har Sinai. If and when your husband died without children and there's a brother around, so you're not allowed to do the following. You're not allowed to eat chazi, you're not allowed to wear shanis, you're not allowed to do malach anyot, you're not allowed to marry somebody else until you do chalitza. Does that have any connection, no pun intended in this one, please don't take me seriously, no pun living or dead, to what? To the fact that last week you were in Eish Ish? Absolutely nothing. That was Eshes Ish is over. Ishikaras had Bisabal. Very nice. And now you have a new Isser. Is that the ABC? Is that the Lom to set the heart and soul of Yivamis? Or no. Yivamis means it's like this. You're a married woman. It says Eshes Ish, Losinuf. It's Eshes Ish. Your husband dies. Normally, Misabal is a matir. Normally, but not always. Every once in a blue moon, Misabal is not the matir legami of Eshes Ish. If you happen to have the following characteristics, your husband doesn't have any children, and there's a brother floating around, the heter would otherwise have been a glot, the number 100% heter, it's matir, the innovation is legamre, was not given for you. Now, I didn't say it doesn't exist for you entirely. It does exist to some degree. Proof positive. If you'll be mezana with somebody else at that point, we're not going to give you misa for that. It's most probably not going to create mamzerus for that. So we're not saying you're a real bona fide eshes ish, but you have not yet received in its entirety the heter of a green light of go marry whoever you want. You are still a little bit what? A little bit what? You're still a little bit married to somebody. It's a very, very strange kind of a marriage. Your husband is what? Is dead. I didn't say they have a brother. Who said brother? Said you're married to a person who is no longer in this world. It's a very, very strange concept. That may be the heart and soul of Yavamas. The Torah says there are different chaloisim that remove ishus. When you have a full-fledged ishus, what removes a full-fledged ishus? A get. When you have this what is that? It's not real ishus ish, haraya. There's no chiyamisa for this nus. But this kind of a quasi-ishus that you're still married to the dead person, we have a chalois for that one also. We have a paita for that one also. What's that called? That's called chalitza. Zika is a relationship. Chalitza is the matir of that what is that ishus from the husband who's dead. If that's the case, is chalitza the first act in this play? It's really act two. Right? So let's say the marshal, when you have, if you hold that the death of the husband ended, the game is over, the husband died, it's over. A new issa comes to haunt us called Osiyas Avechus Lizar. Chalitza is the opening day. Chalitza is the first quarter. Is the first thing that's being done to address this woman's status now. The fact that our status of the Eshes Ish was removed, that was last month's parsha. That's nothing to do with this parsha. Chalitza's not addressing the Ishus of the husband. The husband's dead. Whereas if you have a new version of Chalitza, the first half that she got from the point of being an Eshes Ish Gemura to being a half-baked Eshes Ish, that was accomplished with Mizabal. This is the second half of the game. This is not a new half. Sometimes you can have a situation, first half you don't do so great, second half you do well, you can win games that way. Some people do that way. Okay, second half is good. So second half you won the game. The first half did not result in her being back at the shidduch market. But the second half did, because she got her chalitza. But chalitza is not an independence. Chalitza is not step one, chalitza is step two. Ooh, you know what the Heilig Ozarua says? He says this Lomdus, the Azarua says this Chakira, this Lomdus, or Shiva Chakira, the 1800s in Europe, the Azarua said it 800 years before. He says, this is the Machlekes Ulanu. You saw it here. That's the Machlekes Atanoim. It's Chalitza Tchilis Din or Gemar Din. Because the Azarua was so convinced that the Rivan's Pshat is not correct, that Chalitza is or is not a Din based on the Chalitza Shabbai, the Chalais Hatha Shabbai, nothing to do with Dinimam Shabbai. This is not a Dinimam, it's not Cheshimish, but today this is Evan Ezra. But goof within the heter of chalitza, you can understand it in one of two ways. Either you understand the whole lomdish of of chalitza is a tchila or a saif, that will impact on whether chalitza is tchila or a saif then. Everyone saw that Azarua. Who read the Azarua inside? Nobody read it? No one saw it? It's like 400 pages, come on. It's been lost in the Vatican for 800 years. Nobody read the Azarua. We were zoichet to read it. How can you not read it? What else are you guys doing? Come on, you gotta read the Azarua. Imamish says it's Pamole. In the big bold print at the bottom. Vesunir Biena, the Philoman Yamachlitzkimai didn't made it in the Sinzera, the Pligan the Chalitza Lamitam Ksubal, Tchilazim Shivamashuk Balava, Hashu, the Maskalatira, Tarakam and Yamashi Kadegara Gmadu, Shivachaya Bailais of Isu Misalashuk, Maze Balapoka Misa, Vedain is a lot more Gavala, Cholat's not Poka is a lava, look like my Dindami. He says it, Pamole. according to the this, or Zeruah, that this Nakuda, the Chorayim, the Rishivas were pulling about, and 800 years later was the Machlekes HaTanoim. This ultimately boils down to artful translation of a phrase in Chumash. I want a proper translation of the following phrase. Ki yeshvu achim yachdahav. Umei sarad mehem uvein ein laho. I want to know what the phrase meant. The Torah presents to us the Isser of Yivam Lashuk, calling her the Eishas Hameis. I want a precise English translation. Who wants to offer their interpretation? We'll hire you for the next article edition. The Eishas Hameis can be translated in one of two ways. Either the woman who at one time was the wife of the mace, she is the ex-wife of Reuven, or, you know what Eishes HaMeis means?
Still the wife.
She's married to Reuven. Reuven's dead. That's right. That's the passion of Hebrew. Reuven's dead. She's still married to a dead person. We'll see Eishes HaMeis of Eslizar. Those are the two ways of interpretation of the Pasuk in Chumash. Those two ways of developing Chaim, Elam Elam. Because Baruch Hu wrote the Torah in such a way that both of those interpretations can be read into that phrase of Eish Sameis. Depending on what you think Pshat and Taich of those words are, will open up your eyes for loads of sugyas throughout Masechet Yevamah. It's going to hinge upon that. And Hanagel Maisa for us, according to the Zeruah, that is the heart and soul issue of Vet Chizdin Asof the Mechalitza. So we have two very, very different ways of reading these sugyas. Chalitza, either through the eyes of the Rivan, through the eyes of the Zeruah. Of course, this was not us. We're not learning Yivam, so we're learning Gittin now. So we now have to take everything and go the next step. We have to extrapolate from everything that we learned about this Machloikis, the Rivan, the Zeruah, as to what is the heart and soul of the Sugi in Yivam's Kandalin. How does this speak for a get now? Is a get a Tchilas Din? Or is a get a Sof Din? Can a get suffice Balayla? Must the get be given? Again, assuming it's a din. If you hold like a Rova Rishayim, Riff Ram Ro, the Rishayim never heard of any of this, so then they're not mitachet this discussion. But within the world of both Rivan and the Azaruah, both agree that there's some dimension of din here, either the Mamnusbo or the Din Shabbat Lagamre. So now we went on Lemaisa, 10 o'clock at night, what are we going to start or get tonight? Can I do that or not? Can I call that Tchilas de Sof Din? So depending on what you think the Gemara and Yavamas did or didn't say is now going to spill over in terms of Gittin. So we have a lot of work left cut out for us. Hopefully Hashem tomorrow we'll try to put the final touches on the sugya about is a Beis Din really necessary, is a Beis Din Bayom and Balayla, and where does it get fit into the Chiddush of the Sof model, and then some other odds and ends in terms of Imtum's Lomah that it's a Din, other potential ramifications of the Mice. So we have a little bit more to do in this sugya. So the plan for tomorrow is as follows. So turn off the tape.